Good evening. Welcome to the Solari Report. Today is Thursday, January 10th, 2019. I'm Catherine Austin Fitz, and I'm delighted you could join me this evening. The third quarter wrap-up Megacities PDF is going to be up by Monday. Oh, thank God. That one was spiritual warfare to get through the process. Anyway, we'll have it to the printer next week, and we hope to have copies to the digital and print subscribers by the end of the month. Thank you for your patience. Hang with Stavoren. We're going to send out our update to subscribers tomorrow. I'm going to be inviting 10 subscribers to join me from March 9th to March 16th. Bridget Mouchet, Ulrich Arniger, and Robert Duper are going to be with me. We put up a little special website so you could read all about it. We're going to have two dinners, including dinner at Cafe Max, one of my favorite restaurants on the planet. We're going to have morning sessions to deep dive the topics that Ulrich, Bridget, and I have been talking about on the Solari Report, and then self-organizing and lots of activities and groups for afternoon and meals. You can read all about it on the website. We're going to very important to all of us is quantum biology. Go see the special website at stavoren.solari.com and log in with your Solari Report password. So let me just spell that for you. It's Stavoren, stavoren.solari.com. Anyway, it's going to be, for those of you particularly interested in the future science presentations that Ulrich has done over the last year, I think you'll find it very, very interesting. The new special report on FASB 56, I talked about it last week. I'm going to bring it up again. I cannot stress enough how important it is. If you look at our little Just a Taste video for the week, it focuses on the meaning of FASB 56. The government financials are now completely officially out of control. That means all taxes and proceeds of the Treasury securities can be turned over to large corporations and private investors in secret. So, you know, is the U.S. government at this point becoming simply a shell? So literally through an obscure accounting policy, we've now converted the U.S. government to a fascist governance model, really. Now, you would say, okay, well, that only applies to people in the United States. No, if you're under the national security umbrella of the United States, it has profound implications for numerous countries all over the world. You know, I spend a lot of time in New Zealand and Australia, profound implications. You know, you have a small secret group on an out-of-control basis. It's basically controlling your national security. It clearly has major implications for global investors. If the assets that global investors are financing when they buy treasuries or U.S. government mortgage securities are in the entity that owes them the money, it's a very different credit than if it's not, if it's an empty shell and the money is laundered out the back door and the assets are transferred to private players. A lot more about that in the final week of the annual wrap-up when we discuss our theme, The Real Game of Missing Money. That'll publish on the January 24th. I read last week a quote that I gave on the record to a reporter who's writing a story about FASB 56. But I want to read it again because I think its redundancy helps. So I'm going to quote a quote from the TV series The Wire. The character's name is Detective Jimmy McNulty. So just remember that part of this is a quote. Anyway, so here's the quote given officially on the record by me as the former Assistant Secretary of Housing, FHA Commissioner. Quote, "The story is simple and obvious. What is it about secret financing for secret armies that you do not understand? The U.S. government just officially changed its governance model from a constitutional republic to fascism through an obscure accounting policy. No need to bother with a constitutional convention. The U.S. Treasury is free to tax and then borrow from our pension funds and global and domestic investors and transfer the money and assets financed and technology found or created without limit or oversight to private corporations and investors without compensation or oversight. This is privatization by the, quote, just do it method, quote. Think of this as an extension of the bailouts to a permanent open bailout structure. The White House and Congress just opened a pipeline into the back of the U.S. Treasury and announced to every private army, mercenary, and thug in the world that we are open for business. Every mercenary on the planet is now generating proposed schemes to create business for themselves that pumps up U.S. corporate profits and campaign contributions. Why do you think Secretary Mattis is suddenly out and ads are suddenly running that Blackwater is coming? You understand. Everybody understands. but everybody has a family and wants a future. Okay, here's the quote from Detective Jimmy McNulty in The Wire. If only you mother effers in the state attorney's general office didn't want to be judges, didn't want to be partners in some downtown law firm, if half of you had the effing balls to follow through, you know what would happen? A guy like that would be indicted, tried, and convicted, and the rest of them would back up enough so we could push a clean case or two through your courthouse. But no, everybody stays friends, everybody gets paid, and everybody's got an effing future. Detective Jimmy McNulty in The Wire. My advice? Ask now former DOD Secretary Mattis, who opposed mercenary armies, how he feels about using his credibility to arrange significant increases in DOD appropriations and then getting the boot as soon as the mechanism to finance secret private armies goes into place. Okay, so this is what we're looking at. You see the appropriations go into place, you see the mechanism for secret armies go into place, and then wham, the Marines are out. Mattis is out. Kelly's out. And who's in control? Who's the guy who runs the private armies? It's the CIA and the intelligence agencies. So it looks to me like the shift has gone out of the line military and wham, back to the CIA. It's what Charlie Schumer said in that great interview with CNN in early 2017, and I put it up in the top news videos again for the annual wrap-up because it applies, where he says, you know, he basically said Trump will learn the intelligence agencies run the country. He'll have to do what they say. Big governance problem. Our theme tonight is What's Up with the Wall? My subtitle is The Wall and the Shutdown, the Risks of Earning Money from a Negative Return on Investment Process. At this point, you have too many players who are making money in a way that has a negative return on investment, and that means the fight can really spiral down. Clearly, the president has a political issue, which is why you can get him and Schumer and Pelosi to dig in. My guess is they're being worked from behind the scenes to get them to dig in this way. But let's look at what the real money is up to. There are two goals here, and the first and less important goal, but still clearly an important goal, is who controls the overt and covert flows across the border and what states they flow through. We had a Secure Act wall in 2006. There's been efforts to build barriers and other things at the border. But if you look at a $5 billion invested in more wall kind of structures, you're going to see the administration have much greater power over both the overt and covert flows that flow across the border into the United States and then back across the border into Mexico. That's a very rich power position on the monopoly board. And you can direct what states they flow through, not just the goods and services or the humans and the trafficking or the drugs or, you know, because I'm talking about both overt and covert, but also where the money gets laundered. So Schumer's from New York, New York banks, Pelosi's from San Francisco, the San Francisco banks, and the California border. Clearly, Trump has made a deal with the Bushies, particularly with Palin, Kavanaugh in, and now Barr's hearings next week. That's going to be very interesting. Clearly, all being engineered to flow right through. But clearly, the Bush cartel does a lot better the more and more flow goes through Texas. So goal number one is to assert control over the overt and covert flows across the border, which is going to make controlling the executive branch infinitely more valuable, particularly if you have your man in the attorney general spot, which the Bushes will once Barr goes in. It was interesting. I was taking a look at the Secure Fence Act of 2006, and I just noted one comment on Wikipedia. It said, a paper by University of Pennsylvania political scientist Benjamin Laughlin estimates that the Secure Fence Act caused at least 2,000 additional deaths in the border region. The construction of the border fence caused fighting between the drug cartels by changing the value of territory for smuggling, undermining agreements between cartels. There you go. So I used to have a partner who would say, cash flow is more important than your mother. I don't agree with that, but it's a fair estimate when you look at these things. Okay, so that's goal number one, controlling the overt and covert flows. If you have a border or if you have a wall of the kind that Trump is envisioning, it means the executive branch is going to have much tighter control. And while Trump is in there, can direct the flows. And don't think that controlling those flows won't be very helpful to winning the 2020 elections. Goal number two, which I think is even more important than goal number one, is to achieve a shutdown and possibly even an emergency finding so that you can basically tee up the federal government even more for prioritization. While the shutdown is going on, the corporate contractors are free to move, get a lot more done without the government workers in the way. The more the government workers are out, the easier it is for corporations to do things behind the scene. Everything I've seen is the deep state is in full blossom. All this QAnon, yah-yah about, you know, we're draining the swamp, it's quite the opposite. People are being weaponized through hope, porn, and fear porn to help the deep state blossom even more. But let's look at what's happening. The Marines, as I said, are out. The CIA is in full command. Supposedly, we're getting out of Syria. The question is what mercenaries will be sent back in and under whose control. I think probably now with FASB 56 in place, pretty significant. My question is, to what extent was FASB 56 and the Mattis Kelly getting booted out engineered with Pompeo's help? You know, Pompeo ran the CIA. Now he's over at State and his handpicked successor is over at CIA. What happens, it's very easy to get somebody like Trump, who is easily frustrated with big bureaucracies, to go for the quick and flexible action. And that's a lot of times how the CIA and the intelligence agencies have gotten presidents to go along with things. And it usually looks, you know, like a can-do thing in the minute, but there's always hell to pay, in my experience. The history of the United States since World War II is a steady growth of CIA and intelligence agency power, a lot of it because of their control of the hidden system of finance and black budget. If you haven't heard the different presentations that Farrell and I did in 2014 and 2015 at the Secret Space Program, we've put those in the movie section for the missing money, and I think they give you a lot of good background about what's that's about. But the deep state is in full blossom. And one very interesting development we see, I normally don't care about people's personal lives, but we see Jeff Bezos at the beginning of what could arguably be an extremely messy and expensive divorce. It wouldn't surprise me if there is a real plan on moving in on Bezos. Bezos has always had the wind at his back in terms of the deep state, but Amazon is clearly set up to win the Jedi contract. If it does, wouldn't surprise me to see the deep state basically weaken Bezos or move him out. The other possibility, of course, is Microsoft or one of the competitors wants that contract, and so IBM could be another one. So this is a way of doing a series of things that might help them beat Amazon. But my bet is, no, Amazon's scheduled to win the Jedi contract, and then there's going to be an engineering of Bezos out of any control position. One way to get him is through the family courts. You just can't believe what gets done to people through the family courts if you haven't experienced yourself. The question is, how did his texts get leaks? My guess, they're saying it was friends of his mistress, but my guess, you had private intel or NSA operating who was very well paid to do it. As I've described before, I think Walmart and Amazon are critical parts of a new streamlined federal bureaucracy that will essentially be nationalized and controlled by the deep state. You know, they consider them proprietary government operations ultimately. And I think the Amazon getting the two headquarters set up in Washington and New York and then doing the deal with Lockheed really sort of cemented their role in the future. Now, give it a few months, 1 to 2 years max, depending on Bezos' ability to play the game. You're going to have a crisis at Amazon, and then someone like Buffett will move in and do their save, and of course, it'll end up in deep state control. What's interesting is when you see this happen to people, they're used to always having the wind in their sails, and then suddenly they get hit. A lot of times, they just don't even know how to fight it. A perfect example was Tiger Woods, who was used to playing ball and couldn't handle the targeting. It really almost destroyed him. If he hadn't had great parents, I think it would have destroyed him. So the question is, how will Bezos know how to handle this? We'll see. As I said, William Barr is being confirmed next week. That's a very important position in terms of what the deep state is doing and where they're going. And that gives the Bushies a real control of the DOJ and enforcement intelligence line, that they've always been great at getting it to dance. So W. Bush is not his father, but he certainly has all the knowledge of the Bush network and how they did it. We'll see what happens to Cheney after the Vice movie. Anyway, Rosenstein has announced that he'll be leaving as soon as the Mueller report is delivered, leaving Barr free to basically control the whole thing. It's going to be interesting to see what the story ultimately was, the deep state using Rosenstein to control that whole position, and now they're going to have Barr in place. So turns out Barr is going to recuse himself from the AT&T Time Warner merger. So after his time in government, he spent serious time with the telco. So he's right at the heart of the NSA and intelligence story. I think the bigger goal is the bigger goal of what's happening, controlling the flows at the border or getting the deep state into position for major prioritization. I think the getting the deep state into position for greater prioritization is the more important goal. So let's see whether Trump goes, or let's see how long the shutdown lasts and whether Trump goes to any kind of state of emergency. I'm getting reports that different bureaucracies have been notified to basically stop monies at some point. So figure by the beginning of February, food stamps stop to 40 million Americans. Money will stop to the housing subsidies. It'll stop on tax refunds. It'll stop on paychecks to federal employees. I put a list in the notes. It's quite significant, 800,000 paychecks to federal employees. So the money is going to really start to bite if the shutdown continues. And the minute you start cutting down monies that people need for food or housing, then you're going to start to see a real breakdown of the civil infrastructure and problems with crime. So I figure that doesn't start for 2 to 3 weeks, but you need to be prepared to know what to do if it's going to happen and what it means to you. 50% or more of the income in any county comes directly or indirectly from the federal government. So this is going to start biting cash flows in a very significant way. And while I don't think it would last much longer than the mid-February, even the end of February, if the fight gets really dirty, you never know. So I think it's important to be prepared. The dollar down almost 1% now for the year. So the dollar's weakened. It was up last year, it was strong. The long treasury almost flat. It's off 22 basis points. The intermediate's off 28 basis points. The bond aggregate is flat. And surprise, junk is flying at 3.54%. You know, you look at that and you think, what in the world is that about? It could just have been they traded off so much. People have legitimate reasons to worry. The stock market's strong. And, you know, the story with junk could reflect what's happening in the stock market. It's risk on. The S&P up 3.22%. But you can see the market is really spooked about the players who can't make the transition, as I say, from 2.0 to 3.0. If you don't know what I mean by that, go take a look at the core concepts in the front of the homepage. But companies that, you know, we had an economy, an industrial economy, I'll call 2.0. Then we have a networked economy called 3.0. And the people who can't integrate the technology and make that leap are sort of stuck back in the industrial economy. Anyway, Macy's cut their guidance and their stock plummeted 17%. So, but that'll show you how spooked people are about the nature of companies who are not going to make that transition. Of course, everybody is watching the headlines on a Sears bankruptcy. We've known for a long time that was coming. Home builders come on strong. Part of that is interest rates are coming down a little bit and mortgage rates are down. So home builders up almost 9%. Remember, they got slaughtered last year. The European ETF VGK up 4.24%, Germany up 4%, developed markets minus, North America up 4.13%, China large caps up 3.2%, small caps up 1.67%, and emerging markets strong along with Germany and Europe at 4%. Commodities even stronger, up 5.44%. Gold is only up about 0.87% basis points, not even 1%. And silver up about 1.79%, so almost 2%. Anyway, so if we just say gold up 1%, silver up 2%, I predict that precious metals is likely to have a positive year this year. Probably not gangbuster, but certainly positive as people get more and more nervous about sort of what the politics are going to be. We've had a global economy, and part of globalization was really pumping up the global economy with massive amounts of debt, even through the bailouts. We took all the debt, stuck it to the taxpayer in the U.S. The Europeans tried to manage theirs with austerity, and the emerging markets, you know, put the pedal to the metal and just flooded their areas with debt. And so we've had a sea of debt growth over the last 20 years, and now we are hitting the limits of that. And, part of the pulling the money back to North America is the old saying, he who panics first panics best. But that's America trying to, you know, cover themselves, because at some point the game of musical chairs is over. The millennials are now, as of 2019, bigger in number than the baby boomers. And of course, that's going to continue every year as the baby boomers continue to die off and the millennials come into greater and greater earning power. So you're seeing all sort of consumer trends that are really focused on catering to the millennials. One of them is, I was reminded, there's a cute article in The Economist about vegan. So vegan is here. But what that means in politics is that the millennials are going to be used to market technocracy. It's going to be marketed under the rubric of do-gooding and helping people and doing more for people. You always use progressives to promote more rules and more control. You use both sides, but the progressives have a particular affection for more and more rules and an ability to pile on complicated rules. Many of the new freshmen congressmen fit this description on the Democratic side. And of course, the new darling of the media, because she's so, you know, sort of photogenic and willing to be radical with confidence, is Ocasio-Cortez from New York. She has absolutely no idea how the world works. She's 29 years old, and her map of the world is just unbelievably flawed. I think she's sincere and has a good heart. A lot of these people do. But if you look at the recommendations she's making, she's come out with a new document called the Green. Oh God, I forgot. I didn't write the name down, but it's the Green. It's a big climate change plus green. And all it is a press for technocracy. If you take a look at the best books for 2019 in the annual wrap-up, I recommend Patrick Wood's book, Technocracy. He's really nailed the issue. I'm going to be talking more about it in the first quarter wrap-up. But I strongly recommend you read that book for an understanding of what the deep state is going to use that whole group for and the way they're going to market it to the millennials. It's going to be for people who do understand how the world works. No matter what your generation, you're going to find it pretty horrifying. But I think it's important we understand it, we talk about it, and we think about sort of how to see if we can't help that group come up with something a little bit less destructive of our freedoms and come up with something a little bit more decentralizing than piling on more central control. Interestingly enough, the article we did on FASB 56, the special report is percolating around. Kotlikoff and Skidmore did another article in Forbes. I posted it on the website and on the Missing Money site. One of the things that they point out is caveat emptor. I've had our attorneys write another piece that we'll put up in the final week on the missing money. And if you look at the disclosure laws for securities dealers who are marketing as primary or secondary dealers, the Treasury securities and government-insured mortgage-backed securities, it appears that there's enough national security exemptions so that no matter how destructive FASB 56 is of the federal credit, there doesn't necessarily have to be a lot of disclosure. And if you also look at the fact that the last time the S&P dropped, Standard & Poor's dropped the U.S. credit rating, they got an investigation and attack from the Department of Justice. So my guess is investors are really on their own. You need to decide if you're an investor in any security related to U.S. credit, what you need to understand is that the dealers probably don't feel a legal obligation to warn you to what extent this impacts the credit, and the rating agencies may not be able to do it either. Again, I'm going to discuss it more in the last week when we talk about the real game of the missing money. Interestingly enough, one of the things that's really been helping the economy ever since the Trump election is small business confidence. It's really starting to decline. I think you see so much friction politically and economically in the economy that it's beginning to wear on that group who was very much heartened by what happened in the election and is generally heartened when the Republicans control. So the Republicans losing the House is going to be very disheartening for that group. So that may have contributed. Let's turn to Europe. The EU is talking more and more about a push for a European military, and a lot of British leadership or sort of populist leadership concerned that Brexit is really air cover for Britain throwing in with the European military. There's a new fund set up, the EU Defense Fund, which is the beginning of putting together the pieces that you need for a European military. The reality is, if you look at the competition in the currency market, there's a reason for, certainly for Northern Europe, to pull together and try and create their own European military, especially with Trump pushing hard to demanding for Europe to produce their contributions to NATO, at least match what is supposed to be the stated contribution. So expect European military organization to be in flux, and it's going to be very important and interesting to see where it goes. The European Parliament elections are in March. There's a lot of indication to indicate the populists are going to do well, and it's certainly got it's gotten the political establishment in Europe to be a little bit more concerned. Brexit goes to another vote. May has another vote next week. She's in real trouble over Brexit. The question is, if she gets defeated once again, will they do a hard Brexit or try and get for a referendum? It's a very difficult situation. If they did a hard Brexit, it would be March 29th. So keep an eye on that one. That one's going to be important. The Yellow Vests in France continue to protest, and now they're calling for bank boycotts. At last, somebody's willing to do a bank boycott. I tried to inspire one virally in 2004, and it's just amazing who wouldn't change their bank. The European car industry article in Bloomberg about Ford making major layoffs in Europe and the fact that the auto industry in Europe is dropping. And I thought we got a very interesting quote from a Frankfurt-based analyst on what was happening in the European market. And I wanted to quote it because it reminds me not just of what's happening in the auto industry in Europe, it's what's happening in many, many, many industries. And remember that word I just used, friction? There's way too much friction. Chinese trade wars creates way too much friction. So for business, there's too much friction. So this guy says, quote, "There's too many revolutions all at the same time. It's a negative mix." One of the things they were referring to, let me just read from the article of Bloomberg. "The auto industry is already grappling with tougher environmental rules, a costly shift to electric vehicles, and the risk of ride-hailing services luring away consumers. The sudden slowdown of demand for conventional vehicles risks diluting the cash flow needed to fund this transition, while Brexit adds an extra dose of uncertainty in Europe." And let me read it again. Quote, "There's too many revolutions all at the same time. It's a negative mix." This is part of the problem when you have this much change happening globally all at the same time. You have too many revolutions all at the same time, not just for businesses, but for individuals and families. Okay, turning to Asia, China lowers its treasury positions. We know Russia has been lowering them and continues to brag about lowering them, but now China is significantly lowering them. At the same time, they're landing on the far side of the moon. They were very quiet about it. And I think one of the reasons they're quiet about it, one subscriber wrote in and said something I very much agree with, is they're trying to be quite quiet about their achievements. One, because they're trying to sneak up on the world. But the other thing is, in the middle of trade negotiations, the last thing they need to do is flaunt the fact that they're moving very quickly and very successfully in space. Xi Jinping, in a speech, made noises about how they intend to take over Taiwan. I found it disconcerting. The Taiwanese made their usual statement about everybody has to get together and stop China from being a bully. My sources indicate that it's not as serious as it might sound. It makes me nervous because the Chinese know how to do Chinese water torture till they get what they want. So anything that the day China takes over Taiwan by force is the day that we lose hegemony in the South China Sea and lose the reserve currency. That's just the way it is. So the other thing is, it means every country in the South China Sea is suddenly going to have to kowtow to China, and that's going to be it for us. So what's going on in the South China Sea is very, very important to, again, anybody under the U.S. national security umbrella. The Japanese court has rejected the bid by the former Nissan boss to, you know, to be let free. Again, this process that I must say, I think I really hold the U.S. responsible for starting this idea of using basically civil and criminal prosecution by enforcement authorities to engineer global political competition and economic competition is dangerous. But now that we've started it, it's off and running, and I think it's, the environment's just going to get trickier and trickier. I wanted to just throw out, what's up with Jim Yong Kim, who was the president of the World Bank, just resigned suddenly, unexpectedly, and his resignation is effective February 1st, 2019. He's the former president of Dartmouth College, who left Dartmouth right as a big sex scandal was breaking out. And you almost wonder, there's a story here. I don't know what it is, because the Dartmouth scandal continues to percolate along. Several professors have been resigned, so to speak. But you wonder what that's all about. Anyway, so he resigned suddenly. That means there's going to be tremendous pressure for the new head of the World Bank to not be an American. And it will be very interesting to see how Trump handles that, particularly if he has a deal with the Bushies. My prediction is that if it goes to an American, it'll go to a very strong Bush ally. But let's see what happens, because the international community is going to push hard for non-American. And again, who ends up in that position will be very important. The disinformation epidemic, I keep bringing this up, but there are several things going on. First of all, you have massive amounts of fear porn and hope porn. 99.9% of it is a complete waste of your time. And as I said this week in subscriber input, my character flaws, I have kind of a mama bear impulse and feel somehow like it's my responsibility to protect you all from having your time wasted or your money defrauded by fear porn and hope porn. I've just seen it do so much harm to individuals and families who are, as a result of digesting it, just use their time and money in all the wrong ways. Anyway, so part of it is the usual fear porn and hope porn, but it's getting worse because AI and artificial intelligence software, deep learning software, means that the intelligence agencies can do 325 million disinformation campaigns. Each one can be individually targeted because the machines can all figure it out and do it. And not just for 325 million Americans, but for 3 billion smartphone or internet users. So this stuff is unbelievably powerful and clever. And, you know, I think it's very hard for all of us to realize that we have these invisible, it's like you have an invisible Stasi team of seven people working you 24/7. I just want you to contemplate how this is working. I bring up the expression caveat emptor because one of the things I've discovered is I've tried to collaborate pretty extensively with independent media. And in the last month or two, I found it to be very frustrating. So caveat emptor means buyer beware. And you're seeing a lot of the people running independent news websites basically take the position, oh, this guy is creative or entertaining, or, you know, his lawyer says he's legitimate, so I'm going to have him on because it will get a lot of attention and it's interesting, you know, and it's fun. But the reality is it's total BS. It's not credible people. They're slinging a lot of disinformation. They're slinging a lot of sort of covert gossip, which is not reliable. And there's not a lot of good reporting going on. And it's taking up a huge amount of people's time. And it's not, I don't think the listeners are clear that it's caveat emptor. In other words, buyer beware. And the problem with disinformation is you have, you know, you'll have a lot of interesting, entertaining stuff, and then there's slipped in this or that, and it's all designed to get you to stop from taking action. So if you could be taking action in your local community, if you could be taking action with your state and local representatives, if you can be taking action by moving your money from this bank to a good local bank or credit union. There are millions of actions you could be taking. The goal is to turn you into a passive consumer of something like QAnon. So you just wait for the great white hope because they're going to fix it, right? Anyway, so remember that a lot of what's on the internet is caveat emptor. What I've tried to do at Solari is something different, which is fiduciary. I have a fiduciary obligation to my subscribers and readers, and my job is to try and do the best that I can to make sure that whatever I'm putting on is high integrity stuff and is in your interest and is getting you good information. Now, I'm not always right, and I'll bring on people who are not always perfect, but I think everyone who gets on the Solari Report is pretty high integrity. I don't feel it's your job to just figure it out. It's funny. I've gotten in a couple of squabbles lately, both on Twitter and on email, with people saying, oh, you should, one person said, you should watch, listen to David Wilcox. He has a lot of good stuff. And I went back and said, look, if you make a list of all the really high integrity people I want to read or listen to, I don't have enough time to listen to them, which means I don't have any time to listen to people who are not in integrity. And I just think anybody involved with the Blue Chicken Alien Op is not in integrity. And I've looked at some of Wilcox's stuff, and you know, I just think there's enough there that's just not in integrity. And I said, you know, I don't eat at McDonald's and I don't listen to David Wilcox. Anyway, so that's our approach. And if somebody is, I think, in violation of those fiduciary standards, they ain't getting on the Solari Report. And I've reached the point where I'm deciding to pull back and do a lot less interviews because I just don't want to be on channels that are channeling a lot of BS. I've run into many problems where subscribers think that somebody is legitimate because they're on a channel that I'm on as well, and it just ain't so. So if they're on the Solari Report, I recommend them. If they're not on the Solari Report and you want to know if I recommend them, feel free to ask. But just beware that a lot of what you're running into, whether, you know, the lies in the independent media are different than the lies in the corporate media, but we're watching a real debasement of the quality, unfortunately, in both. One last word on disinformation. Rappaport has a wonderful group of interviews where he talks about what happened in the school shooting in Columbine and how after Columbine, a lot of grief counselors were brought in. And the goal was to take the people who were involved and instead of allowing them to get together and talk about, well, what happened and why did it happen? Instead, they kept them talking about their grief and how they felt about themselves, and tried to turn everything away from looking at the real power lines and what had really happened to staring at your belly button. It's a way of trading power for attention. So instead of looking at the real power lines and saying, what's going on and what can I do about it, you just get massive amounts of attention. It's the same thing I saw during the 90s when I realized that consumers were getting massive amounts of attention from corporation. And the attention they were getting on the corporate side as consumers made them very happy about giving up massive amounts of political power. So they were getting lots of attention, and they were basically trading political power for consumer attention. And frankly, they were on the losing end of the stick, and they didn't realize it. Adam Curtis has a group of documentaries that we've reviewed in Let's Go to the Movies, and I would really encourage you to watch those, starting with his lead one called The Century of Self. But it's about how getting people to be obsessed with themselves has really translated into helping the establishment turn them into individuals who are politically powerless. And I go back to QAnon and sort of the fear porn and hope porn. Again, it's designed to keep you passive and weaponize you to support their churning around the leadership they want to churn now that they're ready, the deep state is ready to consolidate the financial coup phase. Another warning I want to bring up again, there's a great series of newsletters from Sophia Smallstorm. I really recommend her newsletter. It's a great source. She picks what some people would think are relatively arcane topics and goes deep. They're very useful. Very useful. But one of the things she talks about in her most recent is when we turn blood or samples over to labs, we're basically transferring ownership of that specimen. And there's an article I put up this week talking about one of the big pharmaceutical companies, GlaxoSmithKline, that purchased 23andMe, the DNA company. And the question is, do they now own all that DNA? Big question. But I would say if you're going to get your DNA tested, find a country, you know, fly to Switzerland. Hopefully they have better laws, but find a jurisdiction where you don't turn over ownership of your DNA to get the test. Otherwise, I would be phenomenally careful. And under the category of it just doesn't get any weirder than this, if you look at the golden, if you do a search, and I think I put it up under Food and Health on the website, it's a quick video cutout, at the Golden Globe Awards, they announced the importance of flu shot and had a whole string of nurses come out in white jackets with flu shots and started running around sticking the guests with needles, giving them flu shots. It was so sick, you don't even know what to say. You're just hoping it wasn't real flu shots, but who knows? Our hero is Christian Bale, the actor who played Dick Cheney in the movie Vice, which is our movie of the year for 2018. In accepting his award as best actor for a movie that was a musical or comedy, they're portraying Vice as a comedy. I would say it's a pretty dark comedy, but there seems to have been an agreement that they wouldn't use current politicians' names. So there was no mention of Trump, but he thanked Satan for inspiring him to play the role in Vice, which I thought was quite clever. Runner-up for Hero of the Week, because he's been hero so many times before, is Tucker Carlson for an absolutely brilliant rant about families and the economy. It's up on the Salary Report under the News Trends and Stories, but it's also on my Twitter feed. You have to watch it. It's absolutely fantastic. Basically, what he says is, if you don't have healthy families, you're not going to have a healthy economy. Get the connection. He's absolutely right. I wanted to just mention, you know, normally we determine who the hero of the year is going to be at the end of the year, but we've decided who's going to be the hero of the year for 2019. That's Leonardo da Vinci. Da Vinci is a huge passion for me. When I ran Hamilton Securities, we used to describe Hamilton as Da Vinci's workshop, because Da Vinci used to invent things that not only didn't exist, but to build them, you had to invent new tools that hadn't been invented yet. Very innovative. Anyway, this year, May 2nd, is the 500th anniversary of Da Vinci's death, and there are expected huge exhibits and celebrations across Europe, and we want to be a part of that, so we're going to work hard to do that. Anyway, so expect to see a lot rolling out on Da Vinci, and if you want to participate, just start watching documentaries and videos and learning about Da Vinci, and we welcome one and all in a celebration, and stay tuned at Salary for more on Da Vinci throughout the year. In Let's Go to the Movies, I wanted to recommend a wonderful documentary called California Typewriter, organized around a store in California that sells used and repairs typewriters. Really marvelous. Store is called California Typewriter. And this is a story about the sort of resurgence of people wanting manual and electric typewriters and why. One guy has written a book called The Typewriter Revolution. I think it's Typewriter Revolution Manifesto. I have it on my den ottoman. And he sat down and wrote something. You see it in the documentary where it says that the revolution will be typewritten. Anyway, as many of you know, I just got a new manual typewriter. It took me about a year and a half to get it because it was mailed from Romania and got sent back. But I think one of the great sort of prepper things to do is to get a manual typewriter. And I'm going to really explore in 2019 doing more with it, sending notes on it and using it more and getting back in the swing of a manual typewriter. I got one complaint on subscriber input because one of the people interviewed for the movies is Tom Hanks, and you see his picture when the video sits on the website. Hanks was hit with some pretty serious sexual allegations in the Me Too process. I've looked into them. I haven't been able to prove them. And my concern is if you look at the reason some of those things are made at people like Hanks, I just don't know what the truth of it is. And so if I was confident they were true, I wouldn't have used the documentary. At the same time, I like to have confidence in those kinds of allegations before finding somebody guilty without trial. Anyway, but it's a lovely documentary and I recommend it to you. And I recommend the idea of exploring getting a manual typewriter. I bought mine through a small shop on eBay. If I had to do it over again, I would buy it at California Typewriter. You don't have to be in California. You can buy it, I think, through the web or call them and arrange it. So check out California Typewriter, the documentary, but check out the store too if you're looking for a manual typewriter. Our interview this week is part two with Joseph. And again, these are wonderful conversations. I drive to Joseph's house and we talk, have dinner the night before, and then we record the next day. And they are so much fun. You know, in part two, we always talk about the areas where Joseph particularly shines, culture, science, and technology. But we had a lot of fun. So one area that I talk about is story 15 is the challenges of having an intelligent conversation about the environment. Definitely, if you haven't read that piece, which is a piece I published in the fourth quarter last year, I was in Scotland with a wonderful ally who was insisting that climate change was true. And I got tired of making a list of all the different factors I wanted included in an intelligent analysis of what was happening in the environment. So finally I thought, okay, I'm going to write this up one more time. But I think given the push for technocracy and the use of the, you know, sort of Democrat progressive freshman congressman to push it through, we're going to hear a lot of challenging conversations about the environment. And there's a lot about the environment to be concerned about. And there are a lot of things we ought to change so that we could be a lot better to the environment. The number one change we need to make, of course, to me, is to realign living things with the financial system. So place-based financial systems and the kind of reorganization I've talked about many times on Solari. So we need a win-win relationship between the Dow Jones Index and the Popsicle Index, and we don't have it. And it's easy to do, but you can't solve this problem with rules. You have to solve it with reengineering, sort of how the money works. And of course, they're not looking to solve the environmental problem. They're looking to institute more central control. But it's a complex conversation. Anyway, take a look at that piece on the website, The Challenges of Having an Intelligent Conversation about the Environment. You can just pick it up on the search. But anyway, fascinating conversation, and I'll let you just listen to it rather than talk about it anymore. Ask Catherine. Hi, Catherine. Great first half of the year wrap up. Looking forward to the second half. I'm just passing along some information I've come across regarding China and Chinese culture, being Chinese American from the Midwest with an interest in Taoist philosophy and Chinese medicine, but less so in modern Chinese culture people. Here's an article hypothesizing China's cursory interest on the moon. And I was wondering if you were familiar with this documentary on the Confucius Institutes around the world. It's directed by the Chinese national who's now based in Toronto, Doris Lin. No, but I'm very interested in seeing that. I very much appreciate that. I'm still waiting for my DVD to arrive to watch its entirety, but from what I've seen from the trailers and clips, it exemplifies how China uses the art of war and soft power to defeat opponents in the long run. The art of war is essentially about winning without fighting. That is a very important book, and I'm glad you reminded me of that, because I'm going to we're going to add it to the best books for 2019. We have a great interview on the art of war by Sun Tzu in the archives, and I'll make sure when we put up that book review that it links to that. But you can find the art of war in the library. The one aspect that I think many Westerners are missing about the Chinese is that this style of strategy and ruthlessness is not only indicative of the Chinese Communist Party, but of Chinese culture more generally. The CCP is just a blip in Chinese history. As a professor of Chinese and Chinese-American psychology once said, the Chinese metaphor for life is war. This is not in regard to the military, but pragmatic strategy and with a certain amount of paranoia. For some cultures, life is a dance. For others, life is a movie, and yet for others, life is a chess game. For the Chinese, life is war. And on that note, I hope this is somehow useful. Best wishes. Yeah, very useful. So I'm going to add Sun Tzu to the best books, and I can't recommend that book enough. Another subscriber had problems posting a comment on the wrap-up, and I posted it for them, so I'll make sure it's posted again, and I really appreciate your comments. Very good. Ouch. Someone sent in the article that we posted on satellites for 5G to be launched, sending focus beams of intense microwave radiation over the entire Earth. I'm getting reports where 5G is rolling out. I'm getting more and more reports of people being sick and dizzy and having ringing in their ears. So something is happening. New subscriber wrote in, "Dear Catherine, how can I stop ultrasonics from harassing me? Who can I contact? How can they be stopped? They've been harassing me for a year and a half, and I don't know how much longer I can go on. I'm a 72-year-old Christian man living in Dallas, Texas. In the name of Jesus, please help me." I would recommend you go take a look at Bigger Than Snowden, which is a website of people who are knowledgeable in dealing with this. I would also look at the Catherine Horton's Stop 007, and then Karen Stewart is an NSA whistleblower who's worked with what I call the targeted individuals. And I, there's also, through Bigger Than Snowden, you can find links to a group in Europe that did several conferences on electronic surveillance and harassment. Anyway, they have lots of good tips and ideas about how to deal with your situation. What I would say is the two things that have been successful for me when I dealt with this during the litigation was prayer and movement. I find moving in and around other jurisdictions lowers this from happening, or it's a way to deal with it. It's how I dealt with it during the litigation. It's one of the reasons I travel a lot. I find the invasive electronics, which I think almost everybody is dealing with in this country, are much less. It's not as strong in Europe and other areas. And I also find that moving around, it's hard to target somebody who's on the move. It's my old favorite line from World War Z, movement is life. So if there's any way you can start to move around and, you know, live globally on an unpredictable schedule, it would be very helpful. But even if you can do it within the United States, get in the car and start driving. One of the things I have to laugh because, you know, there's an expression in scripture, what the devil meant for your ill, the God meant it for your good. And I have to say that staying on the move really does keep you young. So I recommend it to you. Dear Catherine, I hope that you will address two very fundamental factors that must be corrected if our Republican is indeed going to be restored. And then they go into a series of things on the legal issues and whether or not we're a corporation and all these kinds of things. And I've said this before, I need to do more of a deep dive on some of the legal issues, but I've also found the people who really run things have absolutely no respect for the law. So I'm always, you know, I'm trying to find a nice way to say this. When judges determine the cases based on the sex slave privileges they're getting, I'm not sure any of this makes a difference. Anyway, so, hi, Catherine. Listening to Money and Markets Now, just in case you haven't heard this, here is a resource for sourcing local food, and then they have a link to eatwild.com, which looks terrific, and I posted it. Thank you for sending that. Okay, that's it for this evening. Coming up next week, the 2018 annual wrap-up equity overview and Rambus Chartology. We're going to do a deep dive on what's going on in the financial markets. Clearly, we're coming in for a global slowdown. And so the question is it going to be a bear market or not? Are we just went through a correction? Is the correction over? Anyway, we're going to talk about what's going on in the financial markets, take a look at what happened in 2018, and then take a look at what it looks like for 2019. January 24th is the big one. We're going to talk about the real game of the missing money. I've been quiet while all sorts of folks have been pontificating and talking and chewing about the missing money, and now I have decided, okay, it's time for me to sit down, and I have a lot to say. So the real game of the missing money, the final piece for the annual wrap-up, January 24th, the following week, we're going to have Bridget back on the wellness series on CBD. Okay, CBD oil, something everybody's interested in. There are a wealth of materials up on the web presentation for the annual wrap-up. We just got the movie section up for the missing money. You know, whenever we do this, a big theme like this, often I try and pull out the best movies that can help you understand what's going on. Not everybody has time to read thousands of pages of books and dense material. So, you know, it really is all in the movies. Anyway, so check out the movie section. I hope you enjoy it. So, ladies and gentlemen, until next week, please remember, don't worry about whether or not there is a conspiracy. If you're not in a conspiracy, you need to start one. Good night and good luck.